Ezekiel chapter 22. I have a few verses I want to use as a jumping off point this morning. Father's Day. So this message is primarily for the fathers, but of course it applies to ladies as well in many ways. Ezekiel chapter 22, looking at verse 30. God is talking to his prophet Ezekiel, and he's basically bemoaning the situation of Israel, bemoaning this fact that there was no faithful men. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. God says to Ezekiel, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Oh dear, what a situation Israel is in. No faithful men. No men to stand in the gap. No man to stand up and pray for the land. No man to go to his knees and confess the sins of Israel to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Nobody was doing this. Nobody was standing in the gap before the Lord for the nation of Israel. Turn over, please, to Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13 and verse 5. Of course, this is earlier. But he said a similar statement in Ezekiel 13, 5. God says through his prophet Ezekiel, he says, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." Why haven't we done that, Israel? Why haven't we done that, men? Now go with me, please, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge, for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." Jeremiah chapter 5. And verse 1. And this is a very sad verse to me. This one right here. He's talking to Jeremiah, and he's telling Jeremiah to do this. He says, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth." God is saying, if you can find any man like that, Jeremiah, he says, "and I will pardon it." Talking about Jerusalem, the sin of Jerusalem. "I will pardon Jerusalem." And what is sad is, Jeremiah, I'm sure, did this. And Jeremiah, he is a faithful prophet. There's one faithful man in Jerusalem. And God, if you remember the story of Lot and Abraham and Sodom, Abraham pled for the city of Lot, and he said, "If you, Lord, find 50 righteous men in Sodom, would you spare the place for 50's sake?" And God said, "Yeah, I'll spare Sodom for 50 righteous men's sake in the city. If I can find 50 righteous men in Sodom, I will spare it." And Abraham said, "Lord, what about if there are just 5 lacking of those 50? Would you spare the place for the lack of 5? Would you destroy it for the lack of 5? Wouldn't you spare it for 45 men's sake?" God says, "Yes." And Abraham keeps going with God, as you know. And he brings it all the way down to 10. "Lord, if there are 10 righteous in the city of Sodom, would you spare the place for the 10's sake?" And God says, "Yes, I will. Yes, I will." And as we sadly know, the angels went into Sodom, and they only found one righteous man, Lot. The Bible says just Lot. Lot was just. They did not find 10 righteous men. They found one, and God destroyed the city of Sodom for their sin. And so that, if you go back now and use that thought now, there's one righteous man in Jerusalem. And God tells Jeremiah, if you can find one more, two.
there are just two righteous men in Jerusalem, I will not destroy Jerusalem.
Oh, but God did destroy Jerusalem. Jeremiah did not find one single other righteous man in Jerusalem. That is so sad. So sad. Now go to Proverbs, please. Proverbs 20. Jeremiah was the only righteous man in Jerusalem. And God said, for the sake of just two men, two righteous men, for their sake, I would forgive Jerusalem. But there wasn't two. There wasn't two. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And the last phrase here is where I'm going. But a faithful man, who can find? But a faithful man, who can find? God had one faithful man in Jerusalem, Jeremiah. But he could not find one more. What a sad, sad situation Jerusalem was in. And I hope that God does not have that trouble with Klatskanai, with Rainier, with Longview, with Vernonia. I hope that God has several faithful men that he can find. And that's the title of the message this morning is, God is seeking faithful men. God is seeking faithful men. But a faithful man, who can find? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and thank you for this message. I pray, Lord, that you would bless it and use it in each life here. If there's one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you please help them to understand that Jesus Christ died for them, died for their sin. He paid their sin debt and he offers them eternal life today if they only would repent and turn to him for salvation. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless this message. Speak to hearts. Speak to men here. Father, help us, each one of us, to be faithful to you. I pray for the ladies that they would be able to apply this to themselves as well, the young people too. In Jesus' precious name we ask, amen. God is seeking faithful men. Faithful people. Faithful people. Go with me now to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That was my springboard. In my introduction, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, God is seeking faithful men. What kind of faithfulness is God seeking in men today? What kind of faithfulness is God seeking in women and young people? God is seeking faithful men. What kind? 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me," the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy this, "and the things that thou hast heard of me," he's referring to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine that he taught Timothy, "the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." This, commit the doctrine, teach the doctrine of Jesus Christ to faithful men. What kind? What kind of faithfulness is he looking for? Who shall be able to teach others also. God wants men and women, boys and girls, who can teach others about him. A faithful man, who can find? God is seeking a man who will be faithful to teach God's precepts. A man, a woman, who will be faithful to teach God's precepts. Men, God wants you to be faithful to teach and train up your own family first and foremost. He wants us to be training our family. That's why he made the family unit. Turn to Malachi chapter 2, please. Malachi chapter 2. The reason for marriage, the primary reason for marriage. Malachi is found in Malachi, the book right before Matthew. The last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. Why did God create an institute, that grand institution of marriage? Malachi 2:15 tells us, "And did not he, God, make one," talking about one flesh, Adam and Eve, one flesh, yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? Why did he make marriage? That he might seek a godly seed. That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. God wants every generation and every successive generation to be raised in godliness, to be raised in the precepts of his word. That is the primary purpose of marriage. That's what this is why God created a husband and a wife, to raise up a godly seed for him, so that the next generation carries on and are Christians as well, if you will, as their parents. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Around here we study the Bible. I'm sorry if you can't keep up. I'll try to go real slow so that everybody finds the place. If I keep hearing pages turn, I'll try to slow down. My deacon says I go too fast all the time. So I'm trying to learn how to go slow. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 to 9. The primary purpose of marriage, to raise up your children to love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. To raise up a godly seed. A godly seed. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 talks about this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, the words of God, the law of God, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. By the way, is there any time in our lives that doesn't fit in that, in what he just said there? We're to talk of the things of God when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking out there in the world, walkest by the way, when you're lying down on your couch or lying down on your bed, and when thou risest up. There is no time in our lives where the Word of God, God says, that time is okay that you don't teach your children about me. That time is acceptable to dismiss me from. God says, there's no time like that. I should be center and foremost in your lives, in your family, at all times. At all times. But this is the primary purpose of marriage. Young man, young woman, are you prepared to train up a house full of children to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to train them in the ways of God? Mom, dad, currently, are you training them in the ways of the Lord? Every parent is given the command in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. That's a command. Train up a child. Every parent is given that command to train them up in the ways of the Lord. Young person who is aspiring to be married, do you know how to do that? Do you know how to teach the Bible to children? Good question. If you don't know how to teach the Bible to children, then I'm sorry, you're not ready for marriage. Because that's the primary purpose of marriage. For God to receive a godly seed out of it. This is the primary reason. Consider, let's go to Genesis 18, the first book in the Bible. Consider what God said about Abraham. Oh, I like this verse. Genesis 18. Man, I hope God can say this about me. I hope God can say this about each and every parent in this room and each and every young person who's going to be married. Genesis 18:19. What a blessed statement God makes about Abraham. This whole verse is in reference from God to Abraham. Verse 19, God says, Genesis 18:19, God says about Abraham, "For I know him." I know him. "That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Wow. Boy, I hope God can say that about me. I know Pastor Derek Seeley, that he is going to raise his children to love and serve me. He's going to teach his children to serve God all their lives. He's going to teach them the Bible. They're going to know God's Word because their dad knew how to teach them, and he had a heart to teach them, and he did. I hope God can say that about me. I hope God can say that about each and every one of us. I know him. I know her, Mom. I know her. She's going to teach her children about me. She's going to raise her children to love me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can find a faithful man? A faithful man who can find, God's Word says. God is seeking a man who will be faithful to teach his, God's, precepts, God's Word. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What other quality of faithfulness is God looking for in a man? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 19 through 21. 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21. God is looking for a man who will be faithful to flee from evil. God is looking for a man who will be faithful to flee from evil. Verse 19, please. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Ladies, there's you. Young people, there's you. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. A man therefore purge himself from these. What? Purge himself from what? Iniquity. There's several iniquities mentioned before that verse. Profane and vain babblings, erring from the faith. These things. Purge yourself from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God is looking for a man who will be faithful to flee from evil. Also, the next verse talks about what he's saying you are to flee from. God is looking for men of honor who will be faithful to flee specifically from four kinds of sin. Men, there are four kinds of sin that men have a problem with. And we have to flee. God says, don't stand around and try to fight this. Don't stand around and try to fight these sins. These are thorns in men's sides. Men, when you get tempted about this sin, don't try to, I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, I can handle this. No, he says, flee! Run! Get out of there! You're not big enough, you're not strong enough. This is a weakness in men, okay? Flee. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's the third one I'm going to talk about. I guess I'll talk about it right now. I'll change number three to number one. Flee also youthful lusts. Youthful lusts. What is a youthful lust? Well, I think 1 John 2 gives a good definition of what youthful lusts are. Don't try to stand there and I can handle walking down the pornography aisle. I can handle that. I just won't look either direction. Oh yeah, right. I can handle. Maybe you have a problem with booze or with cigarettes. I can handle walking down the booze aisle. Why walk down the booze aisle? What's in there that you should be taking? Well, why walk through the cigarette aisle? What's in there that you should be taking? Go down a different aisle. There's a lot of aisles in the store. Don't hang around these temptations. Okay? Flee these temptations. 1 John 2:16 talks about these lusts of youth that we are to flee from. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, Oh, the world is what youth love, isn't it? The world is what all of the youth goes after. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Oh, do you have to have that fancy suit or that fancy car? The lust of the flesh, maybe? Do you have a problem with your eyes and women? The lust of the eyes? Or do you have a problem seeing commercials, advertisements maybe? And when you see it, you gotta have it. The lust of the eyes. You see something, you gotta have it. The pride of life. Boy, I really wish I had the boss's job. I really deserve to be the boss of this company. Pride of life. Pride of life. Flee these things. You are too weak to get the victory over them. Don't try to hang around these. Flee! Run! Young people, these are the lusts of youth. Flee! Run! They're not just men's problem. It's the lusts of youth as well. Flee these things. Flee the lusts of youth. Number two, turn to 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 6. Four specific verses in the Bible, four passages that talk about fleeing from a certain kind of sin. One is the lust of youth. Secondly, this one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What does the word fornication mean? It's a collective word. It includes adultery. It simply means every kind of immorality. Fornication. It's a broad, all-inclusive term encompassing every form of perversion or any kind of immorality whatsoever, adultery included. Flee immorality. Flee immorality. It would include pornography. That would be fornication. Committing adultery in your mind. Flee this. Again, don't walk down the pornography aisle, the magazine aisle. There's all kinds of pornography there. All kinds of wicked pictures. Don't look at that horrible advertisement that comes up on your computer or your smartphone or your laptop or your iPad or iPod or whatever it is. Don't look at that. Turn away from it. Oh man, that's disgusting. That's forbidden by the Lord. Oh dear. Pornography. There's a study that says 60% of men, including those who consider themselves Christians, over 60% of men are involved in pornography. What a shame. What a shame. The Bible says flee from this. Flee fornication. You are destroying your mind, and you are very much destroying your relationship with your wife, and you could very, very much so destroy your marriage. Flee fornication. Flee from this grave sin. Don't have anything to do with it. Hate it. Hate it. 1 Peter 3:11 says, let him eschew evil. Eschew, it means to despise it. It means that it makes you ill. To think about it. It's disgusting. You keep yourself as far away from it as you possibly can. You eschew evil. It's horrible too. That's how pornography ought to be to Christian men. And by the way, ladies aren't far off, far behind you. There's like 40%. Two out of five women are involved in pornography too. Unbelievable. Flee fornication. We're to flee the lust of youth. We are to flee fornication. specifically to flee. Don't hang around it. Don't try to see if you're tough enough to handle it. Flee. Get away from it. Run. Turn tail and get out of there as fast as you can. Another one we're supposed to flee. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10:14. We are to flee from idolatry. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Well, Pastor, I've got this one covered. I don't bow down to idols. I don't worship idols. I've got this one covered. I'm good. Do you put something before God? Do you put something before going to church on Sunday? Do you put anything before God? Do you go fishing instead of going to church? Do you go hunting instead of going to church? Do you go to the ball game instead of going to church? There's a lot of idolatry in America. Do you put going to work ahead of going to church? All of these are idol worship. You see, idolatry is not simply bowing down and worshiping a stock, an idol. It is putting anything in God's place. The place that God ought to have in our lives, I've replaced God with, you name it, and that's an idol. Flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. An idol could even be your family. Well, we had to go, I had to have family time on Sunday morning. I had a family time. Really? God says take your family to church. God said take your family to church. That's family time Sunday morning. Idolatry. Oh, the love of money. That's idolatry. Your job, your car, anything, sports, games, work, anything could become an idol if it's put before God, put before serving God. It has become an idol. Flee idolatry. God hates idolatry. You know why he put so many passages in Scripture saying that Israel has committed adultery against me? Because idolatry to God is what is like adultery to us. How much we hate and are hurt and despise the spouse who commits adultery against me? That's what God thinks of us when we put something in his place. He says, you've committed a spiritual adultery against me. You put something in my place that's where I belong. Not that thing. Not that job. Not that car. Not the fishing trip. Not the game. The ball game. That was my place. My time slot. And I am a jealous God, he tells us. Idolatry. God hates it. God hates it. Flee from idolatry. God is looking for faithful men who will flee immorality, who will flee from the lusts of youth, who will flee from idolatry. Fourthly, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The last thing we are commanded directly to flee. The fourth thing, I should say. 1 Timothy chapter 6. God says to flee from the love of money and flee from the desire to be rich. 1 Timothy 6, 9. But they that will be rich, I'm going to work at it. I'm going to be rich someday. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. Do not work for, spend your life working to be rich. Do not allow yourself to love money. Is it a sin to be rich? No. There's a lot of good Christians who are not in sin who have a lot of money. It's not a sin to be rich. What is the sin is to want to be rich. To desire to be rich. To spend your life and your purpose to get rich. That's a sin. Okay? To have money is not a sin. To have the goal to have money is the sin. You can have money and you can use it for the Lord and use it wisely and do a whole lot of good for God. Praise God for those who have done so. But those who will be rich, that's what God says to flee from. Don't love money. It's the root of all evil. Flee from this. Thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. God says money is going to burn up. The gold and the silver is cankered. It's going to perish one day. What you should be spending your life going after and trying to add to your life is that which is going to be a blessing to you when you get to heaven. That which is going to add reward to you when you get to God's throne and into eternity. It's only righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness that is going to have any bearing on eternity. Not money. Not money. Don't spend your life going after money. What a waste. What a waste. Money is just a tool to serve God with. Money is just a tool to serve God with. God is looking for a man who will be faithful to flee from these evils. Immorality, idolatry, the lust of youth, and the love of money, and the desire to be rich. Thirdly, this morning, God is searching for a man who will be a faithful, uncompromising watchman. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. God is seeking a man who will be faithful to teach his precepts, not just to his family, but to everybody around him. But start with your family. Learn how to do it with your family. And then go from there. God is looking for a man who will be faithful to flee from evil. Flee from evil. And by the way, on that first point, I missed talking about a man being faithful to teach his grandchildren. Somebody ought to look up Proverbs 13:22 on that. Faithful to teach your grandchildren. You're not done, fathers or mothers. When the children are grown and they leave the nest, God says, I want you to teach the next generation too. If you're still alive and you have grandchildren, why aren't you influencing their lives? Why aren't you trying to train them up to love the Lord? I'm going backwards in my message, but I'm sorry, I missed that point. God is seeking a man who will be faithful to teach God's precepts to his family, his grandchildren, and then go from there and teach others also. Secondly, God is looking for a man who will be faithful to flee from evil. And lastly, this morning, God is searching for a man who will be a faithful, uncompromising watchman. 1 Corinthians 16:13. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Stop being wimpy. Be a man. Stop doing the nonsense of childhood and be a man. Quit you like men. Be strong. God is searching for men who will watch faithfully over the spiritual condition of others. The spiritual condition of others. God wants you, man, to watch over the souls of others, not just for you, and not even, Father, not even just for your own household. God wants you to watch over the spiritual condition of others. Go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Who does God want us to watch over? Who does God want his faithful watchman to watch over? Ezekiel 3, please. We're almost done. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. God wants you and I to watch over everyone we come in contact with. He wants us to be a witness for him. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Where was Ezekiel? He was in Israel until they were carried away. But he was in the midst of Israelites. He says, I want you to be a watchman to all Israelites. If they're an Israelite, you're their watchman. You're their watchman. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. His blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You know, Christians are not commanded to go out and save people. We don't do any saving, do we? We're simply commanded to go out and tell. Preach Christ. Share Christ. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about where they're going to go when they die without Jesus. And then it's up to them. It's called free will. They still have a free will to choose. And you and I don't go out to save people. We go out to share. We go out to witness. And God says, it's up to me, God, to save somebody. It's your job to go and be their watchman. Go watch for their souls. If you meet somebody, God wants you to share with them the gospel. God wants you to give them a gospel tract. Some way, somehow, give them a little message about Jesus Christ. A watchman. You're a watchman for the house of Israel, Ezekiel. You and I are a watchman for the house of America. And for the house of Clascani, and for the house of Rainier, for the house of Longview, and Kelso, and Vernonia, and Westport. We're the watchmen in this area. Watch for their souls. Watch for their souls. God is searching for a man, a woman, who will be a faithful watchman. Will you be that person? Will you be that person? But also, it goes a little bit beyond going out to share with them. Turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Not just going out and sharing the gospel. That is the hard part, by the way. But then remembering in your prayer time to watch for their soul again in your prayer life. Share the gospel with that person, but then in your personal, private devotions, go to prayer and say, Lord Jesus, remember that one that I gave a gospel tract to? Remember that one that I witnessed to? Whoever he was, maybe you know their name, maybe you don't. And Lord Jesus, would you please work on that heart? Would you please work in that soul so that they would come to know you as their Savior? Look at Isaiah 59:16. Isaiah 59:16. We are to intercede for lost people. Intercede for others. And this would also include saved individuals interceding for instance, someone who is in the hospital and needs healing. Intercede for that one. Isaiah 59, verse 16 says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Why aren't my people, God says, why aren't my people interceding for their brethren, for their loved ones, for the lost? Why aren't they interceding? There are supposed to be intercessors, interceders. You and I, if we name the name of Jesus Christ, are to intercede for the lost. We are to intercede for our brothers and sisters. We are to intercede for our relatives. Go to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer and beg for lost souls. Beg for healing for others. Beg for God's blessing. Beg for God to have first place in their life. Intercede for others. God wants faithful prayer warriors. Faithful prayer warriors. And lastly, this one is probably the least important, but it is in the Bible, so we're going to go there. Isaiah 63. God is searching for faithful men, faithful women, who are watching for opportunities to help others. Watching for opportunities to just be a blessing. Just be a blessing. Whether that means sharing Christ, or whether that means chopping the firewood, whether that means helping an old lady cross the street, whether that means helping that lady who dropped her bag of groceries and the bag burst and her groceries are all over the ground, just helping her pick them up. God is looking for those who will be faithful just to be a blessing to others. Isaiah 63 and verse 5. Isaiah 63, 5. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Why, God says, why aren't my children being a blessing to others? Why aren't my children watching for opportunities to help and to uphold someone who is in need, a physical need, and just needs a helping hand, just needs someone to encourage them that day? Where are God's children, he says, who are looking to be this helper? I wondered that there was none to uphold. I wondered. We're to show our faith by our works, aren't we? Now, we don't get saved by good works. No siree. We're saved by grace alone. But God says, once you are saved, after you are saved, do you love me? Then help others. Show me you love me, God says, by loving others. By being a blessing to others. We're not saved by works, but we are to show forth our faith with works. We are to show forth our faith with our works. Go to James 2:18 in closing. James 2:18. Show you're saved. Let your works declare to the lost, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I prove it every day because of all the good that I do. James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I will show thee my faith by my works. My works have legs, James says. My works have arms, James says. My faith. My faith has arms and legs. My faith is not stagnant. My faith is not something I claim to know Christ, but I sure don't do anything for him. No, James says, you claim to know Christ, do something for him. Do something for him. What are you doing? Will you uphold somebody? Will you be a help to somebody? Will you be a watchman for somebody's soul this week? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for each one of these men that are here today. Father, I pray that you would bless the visitors. Thank you for bringing them out our way, Lord. And Father, I thank you for all of my regular men. Father, would you help each one of us to fulfill these things that you are looking for in faithful men? Help us to flee from sin, flee iniquity, flee immorality, and flee idolatry. Help us to hate the sins that you hate, Lord, in our own lives. Not to nitpick in other people's lives, but to hate the sin in our lives, my life, my sin. And Lord Jesus, help us to be servants for you and to be watchmen and to look around and see where we can be a testimony, see where we can be a servant for you this week. Thank you, Lord, for each one here. Pray your blessing on each one. Again, if there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you speak to that heart? In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I wonder if there's somebody here today that say, Pastor Derek, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I would like to know more about the God you serve. I'd like to know more about how Jesus Christ can save me and give me eternal life. Anyone like that here today? Say, Pastor, I'm not saved, but I'd like to know more. Would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand if that's you? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to call your name. It's just you and me. I want to pray for you.